Anyway, I'd used the front of my house and the house next door as places in which to site work. And that was sort of 86, Broken Pathway was installed, and 87, Close to Home, the photograph in the doorway was installed. And then in 1988, I developed this because Leighton Artist Group organised open studios. And I just heard about this from Pete Owen in the Northcote pub, and was told to go down Grove Green Road to Julia Barton's house because she was organising it. She was a sculptor, and she'd got a little bit of funding from Waltham Forest Council and was producing a small catalogue poster, an invitation card. And basically, we were to just open our studios for the weekend. And all we had to do was submit an image and a statement to Julia, and then basically invigilate our space for the weekend. And I decided to, I moved the furniture from my bedroom into the little box room. So my little box room was piled high with furniture, including my mattress, which I'd climb over all this furniture at night to get into bed, because all the other rooms were completely empty, like installations. And I did a series of projection installations in each room using family photographs. And the open studios were really well attended, and a lot of local people who were quite curious came into my house to look at the work. And also, the photograph outside was still there, and also, Broken Pathway was still there right until the derelictions in 94. So there were works outside as well, sort of drawing people in. But the project, the Open Studios, was also advertised by Whitechapel Art Gallery, who had maps and all the details of every open studio in the East End, and we were included on that. So you had people coming in from the East End and going round the houses. And because I'd set up almost like my open studio like a gallery, so there was very little trace of sort of a private living space there, I decided that it might be a quite good idea to open a gallery in my studio occasionally. And I invited Cornelia Parker around, and we talked about doing an installation in my front room. And I knew Cornelia from a gallery called Actualities. Kay Roberts had invited me down to her gallery to propose the piece of work, which actually never happened because the gallery folded up through lack of funds, which was a great shame. And for that gallery, you had to do a piece, a site-specific work, somewhere outside, and that was actually in Docklands where the space was being cleared and redeveloped. So it was quite an edgy situation at the time, and interesting. And you did a piece in the gallery. And I think Kay Roberts had about eight shows in the end, and Cornelia was one of the people who showed there, and she produced a colour catalogue to go with the work. So Kay was basically supporting that gallery out of her own private income, which soon diminished, and each artist got a fee of £500. So that's how I met Cornelia. Through that, and I'd seen her work at the Art East Gallery up in the attic there. And anyway, we discussed the possibilities of some work. And then later, I mean, just before Cornelia was leaving, she said, "Well, would you mind, for example, if I drilled lots of holes in your living room ceiling?" And I thought about it, and I was quite precious about my space, really. And I just thought, my God, that ceiling's going to fall down. But instead of thinking, oh God, yeah, the ceiling will fall down, and I'll just put some plasterboard up there and secure all the little screws for the suspended pieces like that, I suppose it was because I was unemployed and my funds were so limited. I couldn't think actually beyond that, which just seems absolutely crazy now. So I decided not to do it. Anyway, I did actually do quite a number of shows myself, and I think I was doing 6 to 8 shows a year, so it was very prolific. And I also had quite a lot of gallery visitors come into my studio as well. And for example, the curators came from the British Art Show, and I didn't contact them. I actually didn't have a telephone at all while I was living in Coalfield Road, so most of my communications were by letter or, you know, using the payphone. And the British Council wrote to me and asked me if I'd be available for a studio visit. And Sandy Nairn was there, and also I think it was Isabel from the Arts Council collection. And one of the lecturers from Goldsmiths, who was quite critical of my work, and I think actually he had the final say because I wasn't selected, but he was quite critical of the piece In the Doorway Close to Home, and because he didn't like the way that in the image with my grandmother, the doorway, which echoed the real doorway of the Coalfield Road house, was arched, and the Coalfield Road doorway was straight at the top. So he was quite a formalist, really. And I don't think he was concerned at all, because his own work was very formalistic. And I just think that whole Goldsmith's culture is sort of a bit indoctrination rather than teaching, where students work in similar kind of ways advocated by the tutors. So any kind of social issue was of no concern to him, and he made that quite clear. And he did make a rather sarcastic comment about a letter in my studio, which was from Paul Womble, offering me a commission of £1,000 to blow up 3 images, 8 foot by 10, which was subsequently shown in Heritage Image and History at Impressions Gallery and toured to Manchester Corner House. And Paul Womble was another person who came and gave me a studio visit. And also Panini Barnett from Goldsmith was organising a show called Subversive Stitch, which I was I made an installation for, and that show started at Manchester Corner House and toured. So I mean, I'd already shown in 1984 in the New Contemporaries at Chisenhow Gallery an installation when Chisenhow was an open warehouse basically. And then the following year I did another installation at Riverside. So by the time I come to Coalfield Road, I start to I did a copy art show which went to New York and the House of Friendship in Leningrad, then in Russia. And I was in a show in 1987 called Breathing Spaces at Camera Work, which my work was reviewed by Sarah Kent in Time Out and had quite a big image and so forth. And I'd actually cleared the backyard of Camera Work, and there were lots and lots of bricks, enough to for me to make a huge British Isles in the backyard out of these crumbling, corroded bricks, which again kind of echoed this image of Britain and dereliction and unemployment and so forth. And then I curated another show called Present Histories, and that went to Transmissions Gallery in Glasgow, and it included about 8 artists working installationally. And then there was an artist called Ray Ward, who did a really interesting performance, very oblique. And sort of 88, I quite a number of shows. So I had the Heritage Show, which I'd curated for Franklin Furnace New York. I was in the Leighton Artists Open Studios, which I've mentioned. And then I also was showing at the Whitechapel Open, which was quite a big thing, really, and a really interesting, eclectic show. And the Whitechapel working in such a broad outreach in terms of what they were showing in the gallery and also in the community practice was quite prolific there then and quite different to what it is now. And I think a lot of galleries show are very much geared towards kind of fashion of work at the time, whereas then I think the work was quite diverse, and there was a lot of figurative work as well as sort of people starting to work in installation. And I've mentioned the Subversive Stitch and a show called Deaf Contemporary Visions, which was a big show at Kettle's Yard and Cambridge Darkroom. And The Medium of the Message, which I've mentioned, which was Rochdale Art Gallery and my first installation about the Match Women. So that was 100 years on from the Match Women strike in 1888. And I seem to frequently show at camera work. There was a show called Out of the Dark. And also, quite interestingly, there was a show called Copy Art at Tom Allen Centre. And copy art was quite big at the time, and there was this massive resource up in King's Cross, and it was people could just drop in and use the resources, and it was quite cheap. And they also had a copier there, which you could take a single image and blow it up to about 7 foot square, and then you'd have to join all the pieces. And I had an image of the Match Women, which I blew up to that scale, and I kind of tore the edges and interspersed it with mouldy rose wallpaper, like the English rose, which came from a squatted space where I lived before Colville Road, and was actually still using at that time as a kind of studio space, although it was much more kind of run down than my Colville Road house. But to give you an idea of my living conditions before Colville Road, in Swanfield Street, Brick Lane, there were these row of old Jewish kind of slum buildings, which were in a really poor state of repair. And Jenny Boswell Jones and Ismail Suray had squatted those for quite a few years, and they had their living, they were living in one of these houses, these three story little houses with two rooms on each floor. And the house next door, which you went through their house into the back door, through the backyard, the ground floor they used as storage for their magazine, and the next floor they were about to renovate as offices, and the two rooms on top they'd offered me as a kind of live work space. So I was slowly renovating the offices, and when I moved in, there was this mouldy wallpaper all around the room, and I moved in quite quickly because I had nowhere else to go. And just as a temporary measure, I covered this mouldy wallpaper with newspaper, and I had a little fold-up bed that they lent me in the middle of the room, and a boiler to put water in to heat up for a cup of tea or to wash, because there was no running water in this place at all. There was just cold taps in the yard, although Ismail had plumbed in some water into his house. And with Ismail, we sort of did up the office space, and there were huge cracks in the wall which we stuffed with newspaper and cemented together, and then painted with this stash of old paint that Ismail had collected. And then slowly I did the same to my two spaces upstairs. And I mean, one, the studio room, the walls were so bad I had to paint them with that textured paint, which is quite horrible. But I did sand the floors and it looked relatively okay, but there was a really bad leaky roof in the room that I was sleeping in, and I found that I started to develop asthma and a bit of rheumatism and so forth. And then I moved in with my boyfriend in Peckham and lived there for about a year using the studio. And then the Acme Place came up just in time. So that was really good. But I did go back to Swanfield Street while I was at Coalfield Road as well, and work there as well occasionally in these two little rooms there. And it was quite useful for storing old objects, you know, that you find and you don't particularly want in your house. But Jenny and Ismail were producing this magazine called And, a Journal of Art. And it was black and white. And of course, they were doing it all low tech because computers were like word processors and relatively new there. But it was amazing what they did. And they produced this really quite high quality magazine. It was interesting because it was black and white and a lot of political artists. I remember Peter Kennard and John Latham doing pieces in there. And it was the focus was political art and installation and feminist art and so forth. And they produced a number of issues. And so that was really interesting working with them. And also because Ismail taught me how to renovate places on the cheap, because we were all unemployed and he would put sash windows in. And he'd also like would reuse everything, like even he would even straighten bent nails and use them again. So that was quite phenomenal, really. So I think at the time this whole squatting culture was on the go, and then Acme was just like a little bit more secure than that, the short life housing. And there were lots of short life housing associations around, particularly on that M11 road link. I think there was Solon was one of the housing associations down there. And some of the artists lived in other short life properties from other housing associations. And then all the law changed about squatters' rights, and then squatting became obviously less and less.